Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We trust you had a very Merry Christmas yesterday, and we are here today with the second in our installment of special year-end awards. On Christmas Eve, we talked about the most honest politician, the most overrated, most underrated. Today, three more categories to talk about in the political world for 2013. And first up is the always somber Sorry to See You Go. And on this one, Jim, I've got one personal and one political. On the personal front, in July this year, my wife's grandmother passed away. She was a month short of the age of 92. Her name was Dorothy Lux. She was a nurse in World War II and was later a nurse for many, many years back in the private sector following the war. She raised three children extremely well. She was also married to the chief of police in Memphis, Tennessee, Chief Henry Lux, who took over the job just days after the King assassination. Talk about coming into a job at a difficult time. He was a chief at the time that the arrest of James Earl Ray was made. So at her funeral in Memphis, her son, my father-in-law, put it very well and very simply. She was a wonderful Southern woman, and she was a woman of deep Christian faith. So Dorothy Lux, we miss you very, very much, even though we know you are now in a far better place. On to my political choice for the year. I don't think this will shock too many people, and we've got a couple of clips of this one. It's America's greatest ally in the second half of the 20th century.
To those waiting with bated breath for that favorite media catchphrase, the U-turn, I have only one thing to say. U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
Margaret Thatcher came to power in 1979, tremendous ally with President Reagan in the Cold War, played a key factor along with Pope John Paul II in galvanizing the resistance to the Soviet domination. Of course, by the time she left office, the Berlin Wall was down, the Soviet Union would crumble about a year later, and she had also executed a major turnaround in the British economy. In fact, her last appearance in Prime Minister's Questions, she was accused of widening the divide between the rich and poor, and here was her response.
All levels of income are better off than they were in 1979. But what the honourable member is saying is that he would rather the poor were poorer, provided the rich were less rich. You do not create wealth and opportunity that way. You do not create a property-owning democracy that way.
Lady Thatcher died in April at the age of 87. She'd been in ill health for some time. But, Jim, her impact on the world stage and her being in that position right at the same time President Reagan was absolutely indispensable in many different ways.
That's an excellent choice, Greg. I'm glad you did it. I had a feeling you would, and so as a result of that, I went in a slightly different direction. Not necessarily the most beloved figure amongst conservatives, but I do think he represents an older era in which you could have perhaps more honest, more colorful figures in positions of leadership and not necessarily have blinding incompetence and absolute lunacy to go with it. I'm thinking about former New York City Mayor Ed Koch, who I think we can say was not the best mayor of New York City in the modern era. But considering the time period of the 70s and 80s that he was running the city, he was willing to deviate from liberal orthodoxy. He criticized his own party. And then particularly after leaving office, he praised George W. Bush on Israel and kind of, you know, leaned in the Republican direction a few times. I think you look back on his entire, you know, history in public office and afterwards, he was always very honest, always very funny, always very, you know, willing to be self-critical. His slogan was, "How am I doing?" And he always seemed to want constituents to tell him how he was doing, the good and the bad. I think one of my favorite anecdotes is one that gets my colleague Jonah Goldberg likes to state very often. Ed Koch lost in, I'm going to say, the late 80s, and David Dinkins won the Democratic primary, and Dinkins took over. And Dinkins was probably one of the worst mayors in New York City in recent memory. Really some of the worst times for the city with crime, economic problems, racial divisions and such. So people asked Ed Koch if he wanted to run again after this. And he gave a very honest answer. He said, "No, the people threw me out. And now the people must be punished." You're kind of laughing. We laugh at them and say, look, elections have consequences. If the voters, you know, make a bad decision, they should have to live with these consequences. And some people have brought this up in the context of recalls and things like that. But, you always knew where you stood with him. And I think he generally had a pretty good record as mayor, not the best, but they were generally, you know, the 80s were a time of like bad crime rates, but also a great economic boom in the city. And like I said, for being a colorful personality who was not off his rocker, you don't see that type anymore. And so I will be missing Ed Koch.
Ed Koch, well, I think we disagreed on a lot of policy. As you mentioned, he was a great ally in the war on terror and in terms of Israel policy. He just loved New York, and I think New York in a lot of ways loved him back. And so very instrumental just in reviving the optimism of the city, even if we disagreed with his policies, after a time of almost dissolution of the city back in the 1970s. So good choice there. Great choice. On to rising star, and I'm going to pick Trey Gowdy of South Carolina. He's a guy who you see on Fox News quite a bit. He could use a little work with his hairstyle sometimes, but he is a former prosecutor from down in the Palmetto State. He's on the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee. And I'll tell you, if you don't have your stuff together, he is going to pick you apart, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's the IRS, whether it's any Fast and Furious, any of these other scandals. He is able to set up administration officials trying to spin a tale or two and just absolutely trap them in their own words. Those folks are sweating bullets, and they cannot wait for those 5 minutes to be over.
It's the crucible there. That's an excellent choice there. I'm going to mention another House member who may not be a House member for much longer. His name is Tom Cotton from Arkansas's 4th District. If you've heard of him recently, it's probably because he's running for Senate, and he's considered kind of rapidly turning into a strong favorite into the Senate election against Mark Pryor. Now, a lot of times that you might think, oh, the guy just got into the House. He's running for Senate. Is this guy cravenly ambitious or anything? No. Tom Cotton has got one of those resumes that just kind of shines. Graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Law School. Joined the U.S. Army 2005, served a tour in Iraq and Afghanistan, left the military with the rank of captain, worked for a consultant from Kinsey & Company, and then goes to work in his family's cattle farm. I mean, like, there's your bio ad right there. Smart, tough, disciplined, charismatic, and looks like he's, you know, a strong favorite for that. I think it was Jay Nordlinger of National Review wrote just like this gushing four-part series, and it was deservedly so. There was a National Journal headline that said, Is Tom Cotton too good to be true? Now, if you have to have a critical headline, that's probably about as good a headline as you can get there. So keep an eye on him. I think he could. And the other thing was kind of frightening, I found, Greg. Tom Cotton was born in 1977. Here's this guy who is rapidly turning into a leader in the Republican Party and probably going to be a strong leader in the conservative movement for a long time to come. And he's younger than me, and that bothers me a little bit. But nonetheless, I salute you, Tom Cotton. I think there are great things ahead for him. My guess is that a year or two from now, we may be talking about Tom Cotton as one of the really promising voices for Republicans in the Senate. We'll have to see what the next year holds.
Yeah, he's certainly got a great chance to win that seat. I think of all the people who could have a run for that seat, that's the last name that Mark Pryor wanted to see decide to get in the race and everybody clear out so there wouldn't be much of a primary. On to fading star, and I really, really wanted to go with the president here, but the official title of this is Fading into Oblivion, and with 3 years left in his presidency, no president can be considered fading into oblivion. So I'm going to go with someone that I really didn't want to because he's already won this award once, Anthony Weiner. Hopefully this time he will actually stay in oblivion.
Come on, oblivion! Oblivion. It'll be a comeback year for oblivion as well.
I think everybody knows why he went into oblivion the first time. It turns out it's the exact same reason he's going into oblivion the second time. He was actually leading the New York mayoral race when, it turns out that after the so-called rehab from his sexting through Twitter, if you can even call it that, it turns out that he kept doing it for quite a while after he promised he would never do it again. His wife was humiliated. The Clintons have pretty much cut ties with him. It's hard to know where Anthony Weiner might find a job again, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be one outside of MSNBC that will get him any airtime.
Greg, for this election, I think I'm going to surprise some people because, you know, in the firmament of Republican and conservative voices, I have generally been one of those guys who, at the very least, is not eager to break out the pitchforks and torches over House Speaker John Boehner. I think he's got a very difficult job. I think he's got a very fractured caucus with a wide range of ideological perspectives. And, you know, the job has been described as herding cats. And I try to give him a lot of leeway for this. You look at the recent budget deal. It passed, just a short while ago. He really kind of lashed out at some folks and the outside conservative groups. And while the frustration is understandable, I think it's now safe to say that this is about as good as it's going to get with John Boehner. And I think it's safe to say that this has been a difficult speakership, and I don't think that anyone is really wowed by his performance as a leader in the party. And I think kind of, you know, he seemed to lose his cool in that December press conference. This has been rumored around for a while. I think it's very likely that after 2014, he'll announce that he's not running for re-election, which would mean his speakership would come to a close by 2016. And I think it's just, while, you know, the difficulties of his job are obvious, it's very hard to imagine when you look back on him and say, oh, for the glory days of Speaker John Boehner. I think there are a lot of Republicans who are frustrated with the state of things, and I think he has somehow managed to be perceived as someone who the moderates believe he placates the Tea Party too much, and the Tea Party certainly believes that he is not with them when they need him. And I think that while it's a very difficult balancing act, the task is largely beyond his abilities. That doesn't necessarily mean, I know there's a great person out there eager to replace him, but I think it's safe to say that Boehner's time as the leader in the party is going to be fading rather quickly in the coming years.
Great pick. I think he just flat out looks exhausted right now because it is a difficult job. But yeah, the way he treated the Tea Party lately, I thought he treated them pretty well during the shutdown situation, but he's had different ways of approaching them in the past as well. And I'm sure he'll win re-election next year. It'd be interesting to see where the conference is on him retaining as speaker and if he does get those extra 2 years. But bold choice. And I think a lot of folks see that as well. So well done there. We'll be back tomorrow with three more year-end awards. I know folks can't wait. Jim, we'll talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again tomorrow for the next Three Martini Lunch.